Well, hello out there in Sim Racing Land. Once again, it's 8 o'clock, and it is the right night tonight. It's Tuesday night, the regular night for the Sim Racing Podcast, also known as the Joe Sixpack Racing Podcast. And when our 802 Cup Series is in season, it's the 802 Cup Series Podcast. But one thing is for sure, I'm your host, Greg Dreiss, and another thing is for sure, we're live on Twitch right now, and then tomorrow will be uploaded to YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, and all the major podcast platforms. Last time I counted, I think we had more podcast platforms than listeners, but hey, that's how it goes. And you can pick us up on Facebook on the Joe Sixpack Racing page, Joe Sixpack Racing podcast page. And I want to give a thanks to our sponsors for the 802 Cup Series and our current BG Graphics 802 Late Model Stock Series, which we are running currently. Riptide Radio, if you've ever heard Carolina Shag, I got into it on Sirius XM over the summertime, and then lo and behold, one of our drivers from the Charlotte area, Johnny Barefoot, hooked us up with Riptide Radio. It's an internet radio station of Carolina Shag, and Carolina Shag is everything. It is swing, it is jazz, it is Motown, it is soft rock, it's a lifestyle. So Riptide Radio gives us $5 every race for two leagues. Doesn't sound like much, but it adds up over time. And a random driver gets $5 in iRacing credits that week. And I was lucky enough to win that prize once because I got spun out at the end of the race. And instead of finishing in my third top 10, which I never do, I finished P11, but I got the Riptide Radio prize. And also Dirtbag Clothing, the sponsor of my Joe Sixpack Racing team. They are an American original since 1996, and I love their logo, Dirtbag Clothing, Wear It Till It Stinks. And BG Graphics for being the series sponsor for our 802 late model stock series we've got going on right now. If you want to join either one of these leagues, just look them up on Facebook under 802 iRacing Leagues, or look them up on iRacing and send us a request to join. We'll get you in. After we look over your numbers, we're in week two of the late model stock series. We are at Wilkesboro, North Wilkesboro last week, and Nashville Fairgrounds this Thursday night, and we are actively recruiting. So I'd like to introduce our guest for this evening, Michael Overstreet. He is from American Sim Motor Racing, and we were talking racing before we got on, and the subject of one of my guests knowing the Earnharts came across to somebody you knew who babysit the Earnharts. Welcome, Michael. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing well. You said you're up in northern Wisconsin now, right? Whereabouts?
So I'm actually it's western Wisconsin, right on the border of Minnesota. It's about 30 minutes away from Hudson, about 30 minutes away from Minneapolis.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So
I've been
up here for, here at this location for about 4 years. But when I first moved up here from North Carolina, I live in the Minnesota side, and, been all up here away from North Carolina for, I'd say, probably close to about 10 years now, honestly.
Yeah, you seem to have lost your little, your Carolina accent there a little bit. I noticed it when we first got on, but then when you started saying Wisconsin, you started sounding more like a Yankee like me.
Yeah, it comes and goes. It's, the more I drink, it definitely comes out there.
Of course.
But there's certain wording that, will sound, I guess, a little more northern than others for me. But heck, even just the other day, we're having some flooding issues up here right now with all the snow melting and stuff.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And we drove by this creek, and my wife, she I pointed out to her, I was like, dang, that creek is flooding. And she goes, "Creek, what's that?" I said,
It's a creek.
Like a little river.
Yep.
He goes, "A creek?" I said, "No,
it's a creek."
That's what I said.
Well, believe it or not, that my like we were talking earlier, my mother was raised just outside of Augusta, Georgia, and my dad's family was all up in the Poughkeepsie, New York area, and they always said Crick, and none of them went south except for when they did their 2-year stint in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said Crick.
Yep. So, yeah. It's just, I don't know, you know, it's like any other word out there, you know, every single accent has something different.
Yep. And when I get a crick in my back, the best thing to do is go find a crick and go fishing.
That's right. That's right. Nothing like some good trout fishing.
Yep. I've never, well, I caught one rainbow trout once at Estes Lake Park in Colorado. Other than that, and that was in a stocked pond. Other than that, I've never had any luck. I do more largemouth bass fishing when I fish, which hasn't been a lot lately. When you said you're up there, I bet was in Minneapolis once, and I've been to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, a couple times on side trips from business trips in Chicago. Lake Geneva is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard. I've never been there, but I've definitely seen pictures and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, it's all right up here. It's better, obviously, when it's warmer.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Not a big fan of the snow. And we've gotten more than our share this year.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we get a week like this week where it's, you know, in the 70s now.
Yeah.
Maybe 80s the rest of the week.
Same weather here.
Gone now. I'm waiting for them. Golf courses to start turning green. Get back out there.
Yeah, the golf courses around here just opened this past week. So I think we were 70 degrees today. We're going to be in the 80s earlier, actually later this week, and then it's going to go back into the 50s. And we have a first-time guest on the chat. Hauk Design says, Overstreet is the man, makes KRI and ASMR proud.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, appreciate the shout-out, my man. He's the guy that makes all my paint schemes.
Cool.
You know, I run Cystic Fibrosis Foundation on everything. Have for, gosh, probably 3 years now.
Okay.
I think I've been on iRacing for about 4, I believe.
Yep.
Did
you have a personal connection to cystic fibrosis? Yeah. Or, yeah, do you want to expand on that if you like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of my, I guess you could call it childhood best friend.
Uh-huh.
We've known each other since basically high school, you know,
a little bit
before.
Yep.
His kids, both of his kids have it.
And
that's so tough. I've been, you know, really adamant on at least getting the awareness out there.
Yeah.
You know, so I always try and give them a shout out in my streams and post-race interviews, all that good stuff.
Good for you.
Usually they're watching, so it's really special to me.
Got it. So do you do any fundraising races for that organization?
I have not. I don't do as much iRacing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I usually do it once, maybe twice a week. So I, you know, my work schedule kind of impedes on that a little bit.
Sure.
No, that's definitely something I would, you know, like to eventually down the road, you know, get into doing for sure. I know I'd be really special to them.
Yep.
But yeah.
Cool. So, tell us about Hauk Designs. I see him on your Xfinity series card, as well as your thank you sponsors on your truck series. So what does Hauk Designs do?
So he makes a lot of our paints on iRacing. Really good. Check him out. You know, he will go above and beyond.
Cool.
You know, to get you what you want, from throwbacks to, you know, paint identicals. You know, whatever you want. I mean, he's the man. He's our series sponsor, has been for a couple of seasons now, maybe 3 seasons, maybe 4. It's been a while.
Yeah, that's a good deal. And where's he located?
What part? He's the man when it comes to painting them cars. There's some that he doesn't like painting, and he makes it known, but He'll yep. still do it anyways. So,
gotcha. And
he's a good guy.
What part of the country is he located in? And if somebody wants some paints, how do they get in touch with him?
So if you just Facebook search Hauk Designs, H A U C K,
cool.
Just shoot him a message on there. That's probably the best way. And if you know if he has a better way, feel free, man, to shoot it in chat there and. We'll get it out there.
Yep. But, now I got to remember to keep looking over at the chat because there's sometimes we get four or five people in there and other nights there's nobody. So I'm like, oh, somebody's here. Wow. Open the door. Come on in. Have a beer. So
yeah, I've been sharing this a lot. So,
cool. Appreciate that very much. So tell me Absolutely. About, when did you first start getting involved in racing? And was it sim racing, real racing, and what series was it, and how did that all come about?
So, I have not done any real racing. I would love to. Mm-hmm. That's probably my, long-term goal. Yeah. I'm actually about 10 minutes away from Cedar Lake. The dirt track. So,
yep.
I've thought about, building a little stock car of some sort, just to take out there and have fun with.
Sure.
But, I started racing on just console, mm-hmm. That's where I came from.
Yep.
Growing up as a kid, PlayStation.
Gotcha.
So I think the very first NASCAR game was, NASCAR 98, I believe is what it was.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like 25 years ago though, does it? But it is.
yeah.
I've got something where, my decade yeah, was so my decade. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was never good most of the time. Okay. I went backwards around the track and, at Talladega and just tried to cause the huge, most, how many flips I could do.
Right.
On the backstretch. But, and then it kind of went into the Gran Turismo.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of Gran Turismo, did a lot of the endurance races with those, with my stepdad. Just unlocking cars and stuff.
Yep.
And then I kind of got away from it all a little bit for a while. And then NASCAR, what was it? Inside Line. That one came out. That was probably 2011, 2012, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And got really big into that. Got into a league racing on that and, that's actually where, so I'm the, co-founder of, American Sim Motor Racing.
Okay.
The other co-founder, Coro, I actually met him on there and we've been buddies ever since, always kept in touch over the years.
Cool.
And, I think I've been on iRacing for about 4 years now and within the first, 3 or 4 months of being on iRacing, I'm like, dude, you got a PC, you need to try this out.
Exactly.
This is beyond yep. belief.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we've both been hooked.
Yeah, it's a different world. I absolutely love it. I've never done any real racing. Came close a couple of years ago. Friend of mine found a big block that was for sale, I think, for $8,000. I mean, the car was a piece of junk, but it ran. And that's all we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we're almost ready to do it. And then he goes out and he buys this Chevy Silverado 3500. He paid $86,000 for the truck. And he goes, well, I can't afford a race car. So next thing I know, he's got a trailer and somebody else bought a big block for what we call out here is the Sportsman. Which is the next step down from the races you get paid for. So that guy bought the car, this guy bought the truck and the trailer, and they formed a race team. But I was able to go help him put his trailer together, and it was so much fun. And then my son and I were looking at doing four cylinders, And he says, well, you can get one of those really cheap. I said, yeah, but then you got to get a trailer and the tires. And I says, and he was like 17 at the time, and I was the only one with a full-time job. So I says, so what's going to happen now when we wreck the first time? Who's going to pay for the repairs? And he's like, ugh. So didn't get involved in racing, even though we wanted to. I do work over at Lime Rock Park, which is about 45 minutes from home, on some of their major events. And my son, Sam, just a couple weeks ago, he got hired by somebody to go down to Texas Motor Speedway and take photos of the truck races. So now he's doing NASCAR photography. He does it for IMSA. He does it for Sports Car Clubs of America and a motorcycle series out of New Hampshire. So there's always ways to get involved if you can't drive, because driving's expensive, but we found a way to get involved. And if it wasn't for iRacing, I don't think I'd still be a race fan, because it's just so much fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned, Lime Rock there. So, last year I had an interview actually with, I can't even think of the names now, but, basically it was the the director of competition, the director of, inspections, and, what is the guy's name? V. Phelps.
Oh, really?
Last year, yeah. So I was actually, they wanted me to come on as a tech inspector.
Oh, no kidding.
And go to all the tracks and stuff, yeah.
For which series?
I ultimately turned it down because just it wasn't, the pay wasn't there be able to travel, you know, and
right.
they obviously they're going to pay for everything.
Yep.
You know, travel wise, but it wasn't worth the time away from home.
Sure.
You know, and cause I mean, I would have ended up being home like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday out of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And it would have ended up being like a half day on Monday. That's the day I'd be coming back.
Exactly.
Yep. So it wasn't, you know, if I wasn't married,
yep.
You know, then yeah, I probably would have done it.
Yeah. That's,
I know I would have done it.
Yep. That's the way Sam is. He's 22. His girlfriend, practically fiance right about now, is totally behind him. And she's like, hey, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. If I can go with you, I will. If not, I'll be here when you get home. So mm-hmm. he's got a couple gigs going on, doing some freelance work for one of the Xfinity teams. I can't remember who it is, but he's getting close to being full time, and he really loves it. So I got him involved over at Lime Rock with me, and then he did that for a year. And then next thing you know, the guy said, I'm working with him. Where's your son? He's right over there, but he's going on the other side of he's going to be trackside where we can't go anymore. So he comes by with his little photo vest on and gives us a little smirk smile. And I'm like, shut up, kid.
That's awesome, though.
Oh, it was great. And it was the same thing at Watkins Glen last year where I didn't know he didn't know he was going to get his press credentials. So I had already paid for, you know, the hot passes for the week. And turned out that he didn't need one. So I was like, you're still going to pay me for that, aren't you? He goes, nope. So every time I saw him, I said, he gives me that little smirk. And I said, you know, it's a 200-mile walk back home, dude. So you might want to wipe that smile off your face.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, but it's so much fun. Well, Hawk Designs says, nobody rips the fence like Overstreet. It's not the Larson line. It's the Overstreet line. And he said he went out of his way to.
We did a little recruitment race last night. New Hampshire. And I was even right up there last night. So,
wow.
If I can find a way, I will. Yeah, and I was making time. I think I ended up finishing third in that race. But
that's tough.
If I can find a way to do it, I will.
That's a tough track.
Yeah. Especially with the Xfinity cars, because it's either going to be a dump truck or it's going to be a dump truck on ice.
Yep. Those turns, they seem like they never end. And then I don't know if you've ever been to the track, but when after racing on it and you go up there, you look at the track and you're like, oh, no wonder those turns, they just go on and on and on.
Yeah, no, I've never been there, but yeah, I mean, just being on iRacing, it's wide, which is nice. You know, it's one of the fewer, I guess, short track. I don't know if you'd count it as a short track or not, but it's one of the fewer that are multi-groove, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, it's
a lot of fun. It's one of them underrated tracks.
Yeah, I would call it a short track because there's no banking on it.
Right.
So I don't know what that means. I don't even think it means anything, but to me that qualifies as a short track if it doesn't have any banking and such. So tell me about American Sim Motor Racing. How and why did that start?
So, you know, when me and Coro I did some league racing prior, and, you know, you always get into those leagues that it just, whether or not it's actually happening, it seems like there's some shady stuff going on behind the scenes, you know, or favoritism or whatever.
Yep.
And so, you know, you just get tired of it after a while. You just wanted to, you want to have fun, sure. Right? That's the goal.
Oh, exactly. That's the whole thing.
And so I, you know, got to talking to him and was like, you know what, we should start our own. You know, so that way we know 100% that there's no shady stuff going on.
Right.
You know, and we ran leagues on, you know, the Xbox and, you know, the Forza, you know, we had a league on there, you know, the NASCAR games, we had some leagues on them. So he loved the idea and so did I. So we, you know, ended up making it and, you know, first season was, you know, growing pains.
Yep.
You know, as with anything, you sure. know, it was a lot of fun. I'm actually season one's champ, which will hold that till the day I die. You know.
Yep.
You know, it was a blast. You know, you got to meet new people. You know, you had some come and go.
Yep.
But you know, it just grew from there. You know, there wasn't a season. There hasn't been a season, you know, more rough than that one. You know, as far as attendance.
Yep.
You know, and all that. And it wasn't bad. You know, we had probably, you know, 12. Well, I'd say probably 10 to 15 regulars. You know, and so that's awesome. You know, we had one of my old teams that I was on, they actually broadcast for us on Twitch at the time for the first season, which was very helpful in getting, you know, attraction because, you know, that's one of the main things that people look for nowadays is a broadcast.
Exactly.
And I'm the same way. I've actually started streaming myself now, which is nice, but so I got a little bit more lenience, but you know, I've got people that watch, you know, like my buddy, back in North Carolina, a couple of my buddies back in North Carolina. So, you know, I like to make sure that there's something going on at least, but yeah, so anyways, so, you know, it just kind of took off and then, you know, and I made some mistakes along the way for sure. You know, I ended up getting the name Oversteer or the nickname Oversteer. yeah, you know, I don't want to get into super big details cause it's, you know, it's embarrassing on my end for sure. You know, I learned from it. But you know, ultimately I was a hothead. I didn't take crap from nobody.
Yep.
I thought I was right all the time. Sometimes I still do.
Same here.
but you know, if somebody took me out and I thought they did it on purpose, boy, I tell you what, I was coming after him under caution.
I don't blame you.
Twice. Yep. I did it twice and never again have I done it. First time was more so justified than the other. We were actually just talking about it last night. So we got this new guy in the league at the time, and it was, I think, season two, maybe three. We were at Nashville Fairgrounds, And this guy that come in, you could tell he was using a grip hack. Just the way he was driving. No bobble. You know, it was a very loose track.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom of the exit of 2, if you ran down there, there's a bump down there that will get you out of shape. And we were running the Xfinity cars.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously those are tight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, never bobbled.
Like, no kidding.
Nope. Like, we're all slipping and sliding, pushing, whatever. There's no way, you know. And he ended up taking me out, going 3 wide. And it was basically me and him. Like, we were the class of the field at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mad because, more so mad because I was winless that season. You know, and I believe it was season 2, because I went from like 3 to 5 wins that first season to none the second season.
Oh, I think hurts.
I got one lucky one. And so I was mad anyways, because I was on a winless streak, and so he ended up taking me out and came up under caution. I hit him on the door, you know, door slammed him a bit.
Yeah.
A little bit harder than probably what I should have, but you know, I'm not big on people that cheat, you know. And like I said, I obviously have no way of proving it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the only one that said it. You know what I mean? So then I parked myself after that. You know.
Good move.
I mean, there was nothing else I could do. I was smoking, the car was gonna pop anyways, so yeah. I got my point across, you know. I kicked him out of the league after that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. We had a situation going into season 3, I think, in a league I ran up until last year. We had some of our admins were on a team, and they were going after some other drivers. And we brought up the subject in the admins meeting, and everybody on that team said nothing for the whole time while they got berated. And so we issued, you know, the standard warnings and stuff like that, and made it known on the Discord who got the warnings. And then the final race of the season, one of the guys just runs right through one of the guys that was in the race for the money. And I just immediately tossed him right from the race right then, kicked him out of the league. And those guys got all ticked off, and they said, you can't do that, and da 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 da. And it says right here, you know, if this happens, da 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 da. And I said, you forgot about rule number 2.1. I said, the nuclear option. And I said, you know, which I never used it except for this one time. And I said, it's my league. I'm the one putting up the $300 to $400 a month for prize money and TV stuff. And you guys know the rules, and I reserve that nuclear option for something like this. And if you don't like it, you guys can all get out of here. And they all left and started their own league. And just a couple weeks ago, their broadcaster dropped them because they were averaging 19 to 20 cautions every race. We watched.
Ouch.
It was hard, and these weren't hard tracks. I mean, it wasn't Martinsville, it wasn't Talladega, it was almost every track. And finally the broadcaster, who was doing our league 2 years ago, you could just hear it in his voice, and he says, oh, it's caution number 7 on lap 21 and stuff like that. So yeah, it's hard to keep your mouth shut when you're driving, because you can't see if it's your fault or not 9 out of 10 times until you go back and check the replay. And then a lot of times you think it's your fault and it's not your fault. So yeah, I've been there and done that with the hothead stuff.
Oh yeah. 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 You know, and so the second time, so that we had this one guy in there, and you know, looking back on it, yeah, he was like a spitting image of me, but faster.
Mm-hmm.
Personality wise though, like we would clash a lot, and he was a good dude, you know. I mean, you caught him on a good day. He was a really good dude. We were at IRP, and you know, I believe it was a truck series.
Mm-hmm.
At that point. And we're all ripping the top, you know, and I'm in my head, I'm faster than him and our other guy that's still a part of the league now. And you know, those two in that season were the class of the field. you know, they would take the races and run. I felt like short tracks have always kind of been my specialty anyways.
Yeah.
I take pride in that. You know, I know that, you know, we go to a Martinsville or, you know, maybe a Richmond or the tighter the corners, I feel like the better I do. I already had a boatload of confidence going into the race. Well, they were teammates, you know, and I don't remember what happened, but I, seemed like from my point of view, on one of the restarts, there was some, teammate games going on for the restart.
Yep.
And so I bumped him out of the way, you know, and then I got past him, started running down the other guy. And of course, you know, me and my mouth, I'm over the radio and said, I'm not playing those damn games. The teammate games. And yep. That got me dumped. And of course, you know, at that point I thought he did it on purpose,
right.
You know, but, you know, going back and looking at it, you know, after we had calmed down and whatnot, it was clearly an accident.
Yep.
But so after that, you know, after I got it going again, I went full bore. All I saw was red and I just completely cleaned his clock under caution. And, after that, you know, I took I don't even remember how long it was. I think it was supposed to be like a month suspension or something.
Oh, wow.
And I wholeheartedly was like, you know, give me the hammer because I know that this is wrong. This is my last time. Like, yep. You know, give me the hammer. Make sure that this doesn't happen again to anybody. Because obviously I don't want to, you know, be in my league. I don't want to.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Yep.
Show that that's okay.
Got it.
You know. And so, I believe at that, maybe, I don't remember when it was, but I believe it was that point that I actually stepped down from, co-owner of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And just did, you know, kind of admin on the side a little bit here and there.
Sure.
But yeah, so anyway, so it was funny because the guy that I took out there, a couple of weeks later, we had our attendance was down a little bit after that, mm-hmm. understandably.
Sure. Yep. Same thing happened with us.
Yeah. So, you know, he was like, you know, let him race. He's done his time. You know, it was a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, we had talked after that, you know, or prior to that. So, you know, it's nothing I asked him to do or anything. You know, he just kind of did it. You know, he's like, let him race. He's done his time. You know, we're good. You know, so on and so forth. So I ended up coming back. But yeah, those are not my proudest moments for sure.
Nope, we've all had them.
Another
Hauk Designs wants to know about a certain device he talked about. Duct tape over the push to talk button.
Oh yeah. So, you know, I don't remember when I did that, but so he actually told me that he actually put like a post-it note or something over one of his buttons and says, you know, said don't do it or something along those lines.
Yep.
I'm like, you know what? I like that idea because my mouth gets me in trouble
mm-hmm.
once I push that button. So and to this day, I still have it. I took cool. a little piece of paper, folded it up,
yep.
wrote "Don't do it" on it, and then taped it over that button.
That's great.
And ever since then,
oh,
I mean,
man.
I've slipped up here and there, but sure. ever since then, for the most part, I've gotten a lot better.
That's good. We have That's funny. We have a standing rule because, you know, you got to blow steam off. We have what's called a one and done, you know, and basically what it is because, like you said, 90% of the time you don't know, you think it's the other guy's fault. So we have the one and done rule, and we'll say it right before the race, beginning of the season. You key up once, you call him an asshole, he calls you an asshole or whatever, and then you go back to racing. And if it continues, you get muted and then brought up on charges at the admins meeting the following Monday night.
Yep. No, that's, you know, sometimes you got to do that.
Oh, you do? You
know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it can get carried away very fast.
Easily. Yep.
You know, and we've still had, you know, had that. I've slipped up a few times mm-hmm. since then, you know, and, it's just, you know, I'm a half redhead. So, you know, I've got that fire in me.
I got gotcha.
You know, once they learn, you know, once they learn that you're not going to deal with it,
yep.
you know, that's not okay.
Exactly.
Usually that's when things start getting better.
Oh yeah. And you got to make that known at the beginning of the season in case you do yes. get some, I don't know, some wild horses in there at the beginning of the year. So how many different series do you run with American Sim Motor Racing?
So we currently run one series.
Okay.
We're actually in between seasons right now.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we're coming up on season 7.
Yep, that's now. What it says. Yep, season 7.
And, you know, we've done all three series, minus the next gen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... I don't remember. I believe it was season 2 or 3. So season 1, obviously, we started with the trucks.
Yep.
Season 2, I believe we did both truck and Xfinity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've mainly done, you know, truck series.
Got it.
You know, my vision for the league was to have all three series going.
Yep.
The truck series or equivalent, you know, ARCA series, be our introduction series, sure. you yep. know, letting mm-hmm. the newcomers prove themselves basically.
Yep.
And just like in NASCAR, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
That was kind of my vision for the league. Haven't gotten to that point yet, but and we may never, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we've done the Xfinity. We've done the Gen 6 Cup cars. That one was, it was okay. You know, they were a different breed at the time.
Yeah.
But then we went back to trucks again, did that for a couple seasons. And then we just finished up, last season we did Xfinity. Sounds like this season we're going to do Xfinity again. So yeah, you know, we kind of bounce around a little bit, but for the most part, because we, you know, we have I think it's a $15 entry fee mm-hmm. for the season per right. person,
okay.
which is not bad. There's a lot worse out there.
Oh, you know, that's a great
broadcaster.
Reasonable. Yeah.
We definitely want to keep him around as long as we can.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll start off with, you know, 25 to 30 people, you know, at the start of the season. And in like any other league, you know, it'll kind of taper off.
Yeah.
Halfway through, three quarters of the way through the season.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, it's just, you know, we kind of all decided that, you know, one series would be enough, you know, because just anticipating that drop off. Mm-hmm. Once, you know, we find, you know, 30 regulars, 25 regulars that are going to stick around, mm-hmm. that we know are going to stick around, I'm sure we'll look into it again, but yeah, so I mean, you know, it's, I don't know it. I actually was trying to push the new ARCA car, the Gen 4.
Well, that thing is
that thing is
insane.
Those things are a blast.
Oh, they're so much fun.
But, yeah, but you know, we have a mixed bag of skill mm-hmm. in our league. You know, and we try and help each other out, you know, the guys that are struggling, you know, they know that all they got to do is just reach out.
Right.
You know, and somebody will help mm-hmm. that has time.
So, how do your seasons run? Do you do playoffs, points, cash prizes? How does that work?
So, we do, typically we do a playoff, but it's not like your, like, current NASCAR playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the season, you know, the last 8 to 10 races, whatever it is, 6 races, you know, the points will reset for the top 10 or top 8. Yeah. I believe last season was 8. You know, and then it's like the chase format. You know, whoever, you know, does the, you know, gets the most amount of points by the last race is your champion.
Yeah, that's kind of like how our league would ended up this year. And we actually had to go back. There was a big wreck at the finish with black flags and everything, and we didn't know who was the league champion until about 4 hours after the race, after the admins all got together and sorted it out. Because I think we're using ARCA scoring, which gives you 1 point for the pole, 1 point for leading a lap, like that. And I think the winner with ARCA gets like 2 points or 3 points more than second place, etc. So we had to sort all that out, because it was something went wrong. I forget what it was, but it took us about 3 or 4 hours to figure it out. And the guy that won ended up winning by one single point at the end of the season. So, and it was a lot of fun. And this one guy, because we're $10 to race, and then 15 if you want to participate in the points or the for money. And then this one guy was going on and on about, you know, how the admins favor each other and their friends and their team and stuff like that. So it was 2 weeks left in the season. And he's saying like, well, just give me my money and let me go. Well, it turns out after all that bitching and moaning, he didn't put his $5 in for the point fee. So, I had to finish, let me see. And if I had finished 10th in that race, I would have tied for the last place for money, because we paid all the way back to P15. And it was between me and the guy that sponsors Riptide Radio, a really good guy from down south. And we're the elder statesman in the league. He's 66. I'm 61. I think the next one closest to us is like 45. And we're, no matter what track it is, I look in my rearview mirror and there he is, or I'm right behind him. And so here it is, we're duking it out this last race. And when it turns out, I get this $15 in my iRacing account. I'm like, what that's from? So I asked the league owner, I said, Rob, what's going on with that? And he says, yeah, you remember the guy that was bitching and moaning? He never put his $5 in. So it bumped you up to the prize money. And I'm like, cool. So,
awesome.
You know, it was so much fun. You're currently recruiting, and how's that going?
So we are currently recruiting. It's been hit and miss. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it's so difficult to recruit, honestly.
Oh, it's very hard.
But, you know, to get, you know, decent people in is the struggle. You know, you can get, you know, Joe Schmo out there that, you know, can't hold a line to save his life. Looks like he's, you know, drinking and driving, you know, but he's just going to be a hazard come race day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we're really big on, you don't have to be the fastest guy. You just got to be clean predictable. You know what I mean? You know, we don't want a whole bunch of cautions. Mm-hmm. And last season was awesome. I think, I stepped away for a couple seasons prior to last season,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get my, we'll call it mojo back.
Okay.
You know, I kind of lost my will to keep racing. I kind of felt more like a job than anything. So I wanted to venture out, and just find that back, you know, that fun factor again.
Yep. Been there, done that.
So, yeah. So I can't speak for those seasons, but it seemed like last season, man, we had probably a record low cautions.
That's so
amount
cool.
of cautions.
Yep.
Which was awesome. There was quite a few that, you know, we went caution free.
Wow.
You know, we do 50% races.
Yep.
You know, of the Xfinity series or whatever series we're running in that point. 75% fuel, and then we'll have, you know, an allotment of tires, fixed setups, you know, so, and I think, I don't know how they set it up now for, you know, like weather and stuff. I don't know if that's generated or what, but, you know, you'll have slicker days and you'll have some, you know, overcast days, colder days, But yeah, so you know, it's been a struggle, but we've found a lot of competition so far. You know, cool. getting a couple teams in and whatnot. So it should be pretty good. I don't think, you know, one guy is going to run away with it this season.
That's good. That keeps everybody interested.
So but yeah. You know, it's we're looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a mixed bag on the tracks. Mm-hmm. A little bit more technical, it seems like, for this season, which is awesome.
Cool.
So,
how many road courses do you do during the season?
So our group is not too big on the road courses. It seems like we got them that stand out.
Yep.
Some that stand out. So we've typically just done one. Just to kind of keep them happy.
Right.
You know, there's the past few seasons we've actually done COTA. Phenomenal. Used to hate that track. Could not figure it out. And then we went there when we ran the Gen 6 cars. The Gen 6 Cup cars, not the Gen 4. The Gen 6 Cup cars. And I don't know. I just figured it out. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And then we ended up going there again last season. And it's just a blast. Just a blast. Once you figure that track out, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't done that one. I haven't done that one yet. We do Watkins Glen.
That one's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a fun track.
But, you know, at some point, you know, you got to... In my eyes, you gotta go for something different, you know, something that nobody knows. You know, you're not gonna have your typical, you know, road course ringers that have done that track a million times.
No, that's a good idea.
We did that early on in our seasons. We did just Watkins Glen, and I love the fact that we've moved away from it. We did Canadian Tire one season.
Wow.
I believe next season we're doing Mid Ohio. So, it'll be something different, which is nice.
Yep.
I was pushing for COTA again, even though I think I ended up finishing like 10th or 9th or something.
Yeah.
In that race last year, but man, I had some speed. I started in the back cause you know, turn one always on the initial starts always scares the, you know, the death out of me there.
But,
so, you know, but it should be pretty fun. We got one plate track, I believe, on this season. Mm-hmm. Daytona, I believe it is. But yeah, the rest are mile and a half short tracks, intermediates, whatever. Cool. But yeah, it should be pretty interesting for sure. But yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, because we do Watkins Glen, and we did it when I was running the league. That's my mecca where I go every summer for a vacation. We go up in camp. We're by the Jackie Stewart grandstands by turn 10, or just before turn 10, and just one row across that little pathway from the track. And a couple of years ago, my son says to me, he goes, "Hey, you want to go to IMSA for the day?" Now, Watkins Glen, I think, is 100, as the crow flies, 190 miles or so from here, but there's no easy way to get there. You either got to go all the way out to Syracuse and then turn south, or go all the way out to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, out that way and turn north. There's no straight line to get there. So I said, you want to go all the way out there and back in one day for IMSA? He goes, yeah, why not? And I'm like, all right, well, you're driving on the way back. So we bought the tickets, and then on Facebook, WeatherTech was having a giveaway or something. Send your name and phone number, et cetera. And if you win, you get two tickets to the WeatherTech hospitality tent and hang out with all the drivers and team, you know, all the rich guys in racing and right before the last turn. So we ended up winning that, and that was awesome. And I got to go around the entire track in the brand new Supra with a driver. And I was laughing the whole way. It was so exhilarating. It was unreal. And the driver was really cool. He was narrating all the way around. And he says, as you're coming into turn one, we're doing 120 miles an hour going to turn one. And then up through the S's. And just before the bus stop, he says, and here we come on the back stretch at 141 miles an hour. Here's the chicane. Oops, we're doing 80. Less than a second, you go from 140 miles an hour to 80. And the G-forces were insane, but it was so much fun. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and this was on the street car. It wasn't the Xfinity. So we had no helmets, no roll cages, no nothing. It was just a souped-up street car. But, oh, my gosh, it was incredible. It was so much fun doing that.
That's awesome, that's for great. Sure.
So,
yeah.
So seven seasons. So you do a couple seasons a year, I take it?
Yeah. Okay. You know, we've shortened the schedule quite a bit from, yeah. You know, when we first started. And that's purely because these shorter schedules just seem to be able to, you don't get burnout as easily or as fast, yeah. Which is nice.
Especially in the summer when you'd rather be outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yes, absolutely. You know, because if it starts cutting into my golf time, we got a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's there's a lot of us.
Yeah, no. What's that?
I said there's a lot of us in the league, like myself, that like to be at a track on a Saturday or Sunday night.
Yep, absolutely. You know, like I said, I'm 10 minutes away from Cedar Lake.
Oh, that's cool.
But, you know, the nice thing is we race on a Monday night. So,
okay.
Doesn't really cut into it too much, which is awesome.
So if somebody wants to join your league or get in touch with the American Sim Motor Racing, how do they do that since sounds like you're still recruiting for your next season?
Honestly, either search American Sim Motor Racing on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook page. I don't know how much they keep up with that anymore, but the next best thing, get in touch with Hawk Designs again.
There you go.
He's a series sponsor, but he's also an admin to the league. Otherwise, search on iRacing, American Sim Motor Racing.
Yep.
Shoot somebody, you know, one of the admins on there a message, or just the league in general.
Got it.
We'll give you a test, and you know, usually we have throughout, you know, on Monday nights in the off season, we have, you know, a recruitment race or two.
Right.
Usually it's around the time that we're actually going to be like opening up the lobbies come season time.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets kind of, you know, that time frame in, which is nice. But yeah, so I mean, you know, show up to one of them, just look in the hosted session. I believe they posted on like the iRacing leagues on Facebook.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, just kind of keep a lookout for those. They usually, I think lately, you know, the past couple weeks, they've been doing it about 8:30 Eastern, setting up the lobbies. So, yeah, just keep a lookout on the hosted sessions. Cool. It's open, so stop on in. You know, we'll test you out. And,
sounds,
you know,
good.
If you're clean, or, you know, because we have multiple people from the league. Like last night, we had more league members than we did people that joined.
Yeah, that happened.
It seemed like so. Yeah. You know, and so we had people all throughout the field,
yeah.
And we were able to, you know, basically just go down the list and say, okay, what do you think about that guy?
That's what we
and
do.
Somebody at some point was around him. So,
yeah.
So we, you know, we got a pretty good setup right now for sure.
Yeah. That's what we do. We'll get some of the admins in there and they'll run in the back and we'll try to make sure we're spread out through the field. But then, you know, that gets a little, little boring as you get two thirds of the way through the race and you want to get up there to the front and try to win. So
competitiveness, I don't even have the, every once in a while, you know, if it's a track that I'm not good at or something, I'll start out in the back, but it doesn't take long. I'm trying to go through the, you know, through the field up to the front. You know, so if I get tagged, I get tagged. But the nice thing about our league now, so like I said, you know, I stepped away for a while. I'm actually not even an admin anymore. I'm just a racer. Another one of the members, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that stress anymore. When I left, you know, I handpicked all of the admins, you know, not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, they have made me so proud.
Cool.
And it's you know, I'm really impressed with, you know, where what direction they've taken this league.
Excellent.
Because you know, it is my baby. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one that started it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the one that made it on iRacing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the one that fronted the cash for the first, you know, couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really awesome to see where it's gone for sure.
No, that's cool. Yeah, because I stepped aside March last year, and just a whole bunch of stuff was going on, and we had that stuff with you know, the admins going on there that were pushing one of the other ones up at the front and delaying their starts and jumping in front of each other and stuff like that and wrecking, and then all that going on, and then trying to plan my daughter's wedding. So kind of had a little bit of a meltdown. So I just said, done, stepped aside, and just ran half a season just as a driver. And then they invited me back to to be an admin again and to do the social media and to do the podcast for the league. And I'm like, yeah, this is great, because now I don't have any of the pressures of, you know, putting in 20 to 30 hours a week running three leagues, which I could do because I'm, you know, I don't work during the winter. I got my own garden design and lawn care business. So, you know, from October to April, we're not mowing lawns in New York. So I had the time to do it. And now when they ask me back, it's like, this is great. No pressure. Just go to the admin meetings, take care of that stuff, and do the weekly podcast for the league, and I'm a happy camper now.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's, I actually reached out to my buddy Coro, the co-owner. I was like, you know, and this is before I even reached out to you. And that's, I think that's what kind of sparked my, interest in, coming on here with you. But I was like, you know, I kind of want to, you know, start up a podcast myself, you know, and kind of have the, just like a little 30-minute segment, you know, recap how the weeks went. Whatnot. But I don't know if we'll end up doing that or not. Who knows? But, but yeah, no, I've always kind of been intrigued by the podcast for sure. I think they're a great, aspect to it. You know, it's just a different view, and it's
sure,
you know, like this, where it's just two guys just BSing.
Yep.
But yeah, no, you know, it's, I think it's really cool for sure.
It is. I love it because I used to do, I did talk radio for 6 years.
There you go.
About an hour south of here. And it was cool because I could do it on my way into my office, which was another half hour down the road from there. And then when I transferred my office to Kingston, New York, where the station was, I didn't have to be to work until 9 o'clock. I got off the air at 9 and could easily be to work in 5 minutes. So it was cool. But now, you know, podcasting, it's like, you know, when you're running on a radio station, it was a talk show in the morning from 7 to 9. And, you know, the station owner doesn't care that there's 6 inches of snow on the ground. And the guy that's on the air before you, he wants to get off and go home and doesn't care that you're 45 minutes away in a snowstorm. So that was the drawback. But we had, it was so much fun doing that. And then when podcasting came around, you go, you know what? It's talk radio when I want to do it. And anybody can listen when they want to listen. And all I got to do is come downstairs to my man cave and put my microphone on and pretend I'm on the radio, which is kind of like it is. So it's a lot of fun. And we do the same thing with our league. We do a recap of the week before and then try to get the winner of that race to come on and talk for a bit and then invite them to stay on as we preview the race that's coming up. And if it's one of the guys that wins all the time, I encourage him to stay on so I can catch what his secrets are going to be in his prepping for the races coming up. And it is fun. And when we're not doing that, I just go trolling all the iRacing pages and say, hey, anybody want to be on a podcast? Here's what goes on. And then somebody will say, you know, they'll watch a couple episodes of it or listen to it and go, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I want to be on. So here we are.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's awesome that you do that for sure. I definitely, I look forward to going back and watching this again. But yeah, no, it's, it's just it's a cool aspect to it for sure.
It is.
But yeah, so
Halk wants to, he mentioned something about you guys did a 24-hour endurance race together. Talk about that for a bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So we, over the past couple of years now, we've done the 24-hour Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Coro and, you know, whoever else basically is interested in doing it. Ed Halk, owner of Halk Designs, he ran with us. And then another buddy of ours, Brian Tornowski, ran with us as well this year. And man, I tell you what, that was a blast. You know, we definitely we kept the car clean for the first three drivers. And man, I tell you, poor Brian. He you know, he's still learning, and you know, he tries. He really does. And we were all like, and he even said, you know, I'm going to be the one to crinkle this thing up. And man, I tell you what, sure as heck.
Oh, man.
First, like, half of the stint ended up pinning it against the wall. But, you know, it's all in fun. You know, we're not out there, you know, trying to be serious with it or anything. Yeah. You know, we'll get competitive, but, you know, it's more, you know, just a fun thing for us to do once a year.
Yeah.
Something to say, well, you know, we did it.
Right. Have you heard of have you heard of the 24 beers of Daytona?
Ooh, no, but that sounds awesome. You had me a beer.
Justin Clapper, who was Zane Smith's, rear tire changer, last year started it, and I had him on, and the guy that came on with him there, it's one of the shorter podcasts that goes on about, maybe 45 minutes, but the information and that just got disseminated there and how the 24 beers works, you've got to have, I think it's minimum, it's not 24 hours. They do a Saturday night stint and, it's like three different stints and then a longer one on Sunday afternoon. And you have to prove that between however many drivers you had, you've got 24 empty beer cans or beer bottles. You know, that's on the honor system, but you got to be able to show that you had it. And he says, yeah, you end up driving totally chip faced half the time through the race. So
that is awesome.
Yep. So, and they had a broadcaster they did that would do like the first 90 minutes of it. And they didn't have a broadcaster overnight because, you know, it's 3 o'clock Sunday morning. Who's watching? But what they did do was just have fun runs overnight and keep drinking overnight and wake up Sunday morning with a hangover, get back in the car. And then the last 90 minutes or 2 hours, they had another broadcaster come in and finish. So it was like the 24 hours, but it was three separate stints over 24 hours. And they said they had so much fun doing it. And oh, Halk says he's in on the 24 beers. Oh, maybe he wants to do it. Okay.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Halk, you in there?
Yep. And it was so cool because it was shortly after I had, you know, Justin Clapper on. I'm watching the truck race and Zane Smith wins the race. I go, I know that guy. I know him. You know, and I email him right away or message him on Facebook. Hey, good win. And 20 minutes after the race, he's responding right back. So it was really cool. He's not with Zane Smith this year. He's doing something for, I think, another truck driver and something with the Xfinity guys. But he talked about how competitive it is being, you know, on a pit crew, and especially an over the wall guy. He was talking about it. Sounds absolutely insane, but he loves it.
Yeah, I can imagine. that's not a bad gig for sure. Yeah.
So he advertises it. And this year, I think they did it on the same weekend as, and they had it. So it finished right before the Daytona 500. So they changed it a little bit. Last year, they did it the same weekend as the 24 hours of Daytona, but they had so many guys that wanted to watch that race. So they had this one finished just before the Daytona 500 started.
That's probably the way to go too. Yeah.
It was a trip.
Well, I mean, you think about it, you know, usually iRacing does the 24 hour the week before the 24 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, I mean, those 2 weeks are pretty tied up with people.
Yeah.
So that's probably the way to go for sure.
So who's your broadcaster?
That's pretty cool that they ended it. So then you're already, you know, you got your pregame on watching the Daytona.
and you're totally hungover and you fall asleep right before the first stage ends. Probably that would be me.
Oh, I tell you what though, you know, I'm very adamant on watching every cup race. Uh-huh. I try and watch the Xfinity and the trucks if I'm available.
Yeah.
You know, and not doing anything. But I tell you what, man, in between stage one and two, it never fails. I'll end up falling asleep. And that is the best nap I will ever have.
Oh yeah.
Is watching the race on the couch.
Yep.
You know,
same thing.
Fall asleep to it.
Yeah. My wife says, how can you sleep on the couch? I said, she'll go upstairs to bed and take a nap. I said, because to me, you know, other than making babies, the bedroom is for sleeping and changing and getting ready to go to work. I cannot take a nap anywhere else but on the couch.
Yep.
That's just what it is. So who's your broadcaster?
Let me look that up because I know his name is Dave.
Okay.
But I don't remember what his channel is called. Okay. So let me take a look here real quick.
Was it Extreme Sim TV or is that's my Friday night guest?
So that one, man, I tell you what, I don't want to talk bad about people, but thank you. Thank you, Dave. So it's Dave in the Cave.
Okay.
Turn 3 Network.
Oh, Turn 3. Turn 3
Broadcasting.
Turn 3 is excellent.
Yes. And he, you know, like I said, last season was my first season back to the league. And I went back and watched every race. And, you know, I got Dave. I got, you know, one of the post-race interviews at probably my worst track ever. I always went back and watched him. He's been the best broadcaster we have had to date, for sure.
I think we're using
a little bit about the track that's probably statistically my worst, except for last season. Iowa. I love the track.
Yep.
But I have PTSD with it. So, I believe it was season one. Maybe it was season two. No, I think it was season one. No, it was definitely season two. So I have a Fanatec wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the one where it's got the quick release.
Yeah.
So it's like just the base model, the CSL Elite.
Mm-hmm.
And I was known to, you know, turn my force feedback up. Like I wanted to get wore out while I was racing. Well, being as rough of a track as it is, I got loose off of two and went to correct it. And I actually ripped the wheel completely off the housing.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Yeah. So ever since then, you know, and luckily I had a spare wheel. Like the wheel that I started with was a Logitech G920. Sorry, I've got a train going by.
Ah. We live right by the tracks.
So, luckily, I've got a spare one.
Uh huh.
But yeah, you know, and then you know, of course, you got to get in touch with, you know, customer service and the tech support.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they're not in the U.S., so then you got to worry about shipping it out to the U.K. or wherever they are.
Yep.
And the whole time they're questioning you, you can just tell they don't believe you. Like, you can just tell they're trying to get out of shipping you a new one.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had it tight, you know, and it wasn't anything malicious by any means.
Right.
Just the bolt that holds it on just sheared off.
Yep.
And it was only like 6 months old at the time.
Oh, man.
So, so ever since then, I've gotten PTSD. But last season, I think I finished third.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a love hate relationship with that track.
No, I got you. Like Iowa. I like racing there.
But yeah, and then but the nice thing too is, so like, you know, with one thing too that the admins have incorporated was to help with the cautions.
Mm-hmm.
They actually took away all the fast repairs. So it made you drive smarter.
There you go.
And, dude, it's been a night and day. It sucks when you tag the wall or something.
Yep.
But, oh, it's so nice. You know, it's, like I said, like, I think we went to Talladega last season. Maybe it was Daytona. I don't remember, but, I believe we went caution free. If we had a caution, it was within the first couple of laps.
Wow, that's crazy.
We went actually caution free there, and it ended up turning into like a fuel mileage race.
Wow, that doesn't happen at that track.
You know, and that was with, I believe that was with like 20 something drivers, 25 drivers in there.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, you know, it I think that right there has helped the league tremendously.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the racing goes, now you still got those guys that, you know, are overly aggressive, and you learn real quick who they are,
and you learn, you know, to stay
who
away from
and can't race around. You know, I'm a firm believer in I will race you how you race me.
Exactly.
You know, if you race me with respect, I'll race you right back with respect.
Yeah, it's called karma.
Until the last couple of laps, you know, I won't, you know, intentionally take you out, but it's, you know what I mean?
It may happen.
I'm sorry, I'm door slamming you.
Yep, I want the win.
But yeah, no, you know, it's, I take pride in trying to race respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm human. I'll slip up every once in a while.
Sure, we all do.
It doesn't happen very much. You know, I hate causing cautions.
Yeah.
And I am one of the few that actually, you know, don't, which is nice. I think last season I caused maybe two all season. I think we have like a 10 race season. So maybe it's a 12 race season, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I hate causing cautions because I don't want to be that guy. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yep.
And then of course, you know, if you're causing a caution, odds are you don't have control of your car.
Yep.
And with no fast repair, it's there's no turning back at that point.
No.
You better hope you're a wheel man.
Yep. Oh, I'm not good at on short tracks at all. And we did Norks Wolfboro in the late models last week, and it was so, it was so much fun, and I qualified last place for the first race, or the qualifying heat, or whatever you want to call it, the first couple of heats. So we had 16 cars. I started 16th. I knew that where it was going to be, and I told the guys on our team, I said, you know, I said, I might be the team owner, but I'm not going to tell you guys how to drive. You're going to tell me how to drive. So then as the race got on, I started creeping up, and I'm like in 10th, 11th, and two laps to go, I'm in 8th place, and I'm like, cool. Then I get wrecked. And we had The caution laps didn't count because it was only a 50-lap feature race. So I got the meatball flag, had to go in to the pits, and it said required repairs 26 seconds. So I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. I'll be back out on the track real quick. Well, I get back out on the track, and I'm going down the straightaway coming out of the pits with the wheel at a 90-degree right angle. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be fun. But I said, you know what? We're going green next time around. I'm going to stay out here, and I'm going to stay in eighth place, and I'm going to stay out of everybody's way because I am not losing a top 10 finish on a short track, because to me that's like winning. And then the green flag comes out, and I don't know what we were doing, 140 miles an hour maybe. I was lucky to do 90, and going through turn one and two, that's when the wheel was where it should be if you're going straight. Here's come that little red line up top, and I'm like, wow, this is really bad. And I got right to the finish line, and then the steering just went crazy. I barely crossed the line, and then went head first into the inside wall, and I got eighth place, and I felt like I won the race. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
But I was hell bent. I'm gonna finish this race. I don't care if the wheel's gonna be 180 degrees and I'm going backwards. I'm gonna finish, and I'm gonna finish eighth, and it worked out.
That's awesome. Yeah. On my console days, I used to hate short tracks.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I was always, get me into a plate track or get me into like Michigan or Auto Club or something.
Yeah.
Bigger tracks. You know, the bigger the better for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the hand foot coordination versus the hand hand coordination.
Mm-hmm.
It just started running short tracks and it just kind of clicked for me.
That's cool.
I'm not the fastest out there by any means, but
I'm far from it.
I feel confident that I can at least, you know, knock out a top five or close to it. You know, every time we go to a short track.
Yep.
So I love dirt racing too. That's a blast. If you've ever done a dirt race on iRacing,
I've done a few.
Done one,
they
I
are
highly recommend it.
The it is but, so realistic when they came out with that. They did one hell of a job developing that dirt series.
Absolutely.
That was a blast.
I'm one of the weirdos, I guess. I prefer the stock cars on there, the trucks or the
oh, they're fun.
The Xfinity cars even.
Yeah.
Those are, if you got a setup for it, those are actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. We took our second year of our truck series, and we only ran 10 races with that each season, because that was on a Tuesday night, and we raced on Sundays for the Cup series. And the guy said, hey, let's do it all on dirt. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do a figure eight and we're going to do a rally cross. And they're like, cool. So of course, on the, you know, the rally cross, you got to turn the damage off, because otherwise the first time over that jump, you're going to be toast.
Yep.
And we had a blast, and the figure eight was, it was so much fun. By the time, cause nobody's, not that many guys did a figure eight. And I'm saying the one guy, I go, where are you going? He goes, I'm trying to find the track. I said, well, don't follow me, because I'm lost too, because the track wasn't very well laid out. And it was a blast. We had so much fun doing that.
Yeah, the stadium trucks are really fun too.
Yes.
I every once in a while I'll get into that kick where I'll just jump into one of them public lobbies, the officials, and I'll just kind of tinker around on them, and they are a blast. You know, usually I can only withstand doing one or two.
Yeah.
Cause they are, I mean, the little 10 lappers, man, they're, I think more mentally challenging than physically, but
yeah.
They're a blast for sure.
Yeah.
Got
a chance to see the stadium trucks when, 2019 or maybe before that, when IndyCar was supposed to go to Boston, but something happened, so they went out to Watkins Glen, and they had the stadium trucks there too. And those things were, oh my gosh, when they hit that ramp and they're flying 300 feet in the air, it was crazy.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
I believe that.
Yeah.
So I'm on the opposite side of Road America on Wisconsin.
Yep.
That's one thing I want to do is go out there to see the stadium trucks when they come out.
Yeah, they were fun.
it's such a big track, you're only going to see them, you know, for a split second, once every couple minutes. But
yeah,
they look like they're a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah, for sure. And then standing next to them, you know, they kind of somewhat look like the trucks they race on those cross desert ones, like the Baja 500 or something like that.
Oh, they're, yeah, the cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
are very similar. I think the stadium trucks are a bit wider than those, but or at least that's what it seems like, you know, on TV. But yeah, man, those things are a blast to watch. They're really fun on iRacing too.
Yeah.
I don't remember what season it was, but yeah, obviously, you know, the Xfinity cars, they don't have a dirt tire model.
Right.
They should, mm-hmm. but they don't. we ended up going there in the Xfinity series one season. And we got to build a setup for it. And one of the guys in the league at the time, he actually got this thing driving like a dirt car.
No kidding.
It felt like the, we went to Bristol
yep.
with them. It was when Bristol first came out with the dirt track. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, I tell you what, those things were a blast. You know, yep. it's just, you, most of the time, you know, you can... With the trucks, you know, you're not as, like, dependent on treating that throttle like it's got an egg under it.
Yeah.
But with the Xfinity cars, oh, boy.
That's so true.
It's weird because, like, the more glazed the track got, the more it handled like a dirt car.
Wow.
And, on a very fresh track, that thing was like a dump truck. You could just tell it was digging into the dirt.
Yep.
But, so the season that I left, ASMR, I went into this other league, and it was an open setup league, and they followed the actual, like, NASCAR schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they, they had all three series, and I believe it was a buy-in for the season, and it wasn't terrible. But I got in there, and I wasn't very big on, I didn't know what the heck I was doing
right.
when it came to making setups. Like, I tinkered with it here and there, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Oh, I don't either.
Well, we ended up going to Bristol Dirt, and I was in the Xfinity series because that was like the one night that I was available, and that's what they ran on that night. And obviously most of the time somebody's going to buy a setup. They're not going to take the time to,
right.
to make one
mm-hmm.
and then kind of tweak it from there.
Yep.
Well, being a track that you don't actually go to, you can't buy a setup for it. So everybody, the cream rose to the top, and being there already doing that race, yes, it was a fixed setup, but it was a open setup, or it's a setup that's already been made.
Right.
So I reached out to the guy who made that setup, and this is, I believe it was probably close to a year after, he still had that setup.
Yep.
And he gave it to me. I'm like, this is awesome. Now I've got a starting point. And I tinkered around with that thing for a couple hours. Oh, boy. I tell you what, I got that thing driving even better than it did before.
Oh, wow.
And, the one thing that it was lacking was it was low to the ground still.
Okay.
And I jacked that thing up. I got that thing off of the dirt. Oh, I had the left front coming off the ground. Off of the dirt, driving like a true dirt car.
Like I was gonna say, just like a true dirt car.
Oh man, I completely dominated that race.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was the only race I won in that series or in that league. But man, I tell you what, nobody had anything for me. I believe I led probably all but like maybe two laps of that race.
Oh wow,
and it was like 150 laps or something.
That's pretty good.
Just took it away.
Yep.
And, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's, like I said, I love dirt. Anytime we have an opportunity to go to a dirt track, I'm all for it. I don't care what track it is. I don't care
how much I don't care what you're driving.
Or don't have.
Yep.
They're just a blast, man. You know, it really takes some finesse for sure.
It does.
Yeah. But
wow, we've been yakking racing for, if you include the 10 minutes before we went on the air, we're over 90 minutes now.
Oh yeah.
Time flies. I told you. See, we just talk and we run out of stuff to talk about. Oh man, that's great. Well, I want to thank you for Mike for stopping in tonight and talking about American Sim Motor Racing. And the only reason I'm saying that now is it's getting just about my bedtime. I'm usually up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's getting to be about mine too.
Yep. So, and I got to go see a couple properties to look at and give them estimates on mowing and some planting. So I've got to get ready for that, because if it's going to be 80 degrees the rest of the week, we're going to start mowing lawns next week, I think, around here. So I got to get ready to do that. So one more time, tell me who you are or what you do. And if somebody wants to race, how do they get in touch with you again?
Yeah. Michael, AKA Oversteer Overstreet. just a good old iRacer, really, yep. Just out to have fun. We're in American Sim Motor Racing, ASMR, still recently chose that name. We're a good group of guys for sure. Pretty mm-hmm. laid back. We got some strict rules.
Cool.
But yeah, search us up on Facebook. Excellent. Search up Hawk Designs on Facebook. Or just jump into one of our hosted sessions, recruitment races on Monday nights. I believe our season starts May 1st.
Yep, that's what you got.
We'll have a little fun race on May 1st. It won't be a points race, but mm-hmm. it'll be at the LA Coliseum.
Cool.
So, yeah, it should be pretty fun.
Sounds good. Well, once again, Mike, thanks for reaching out to come on. It's been a great conversation. And like you said, it's just two guys talking racing.
That's right. I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Have yourself a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Once again, thanks, Michael Overstreet from American Sim Motor Racing. And like you said, you can check them out online on their Facebook page or look up American Sim Motor Racing on Facebook. And I think you said just go right to iRacing, just like we tell you to join our leagues. And also thanks for Hauk Designs for stopping by the chat room and needling Mike and giving us some information as we went on tonight. This has been the Sim Racing Podcast with Greg Drace. We have one more episode this week. It's going to be Friday 4:14 at 8 p.m. Justin Diltz and Ryan Chapman will be by from Elevated Motorsports. And again, it's just going to be more guys talking racing. Well, if you're a girl in race, come on too. We're not going to tell anybody to stay away. It's just a bunch of good old folks talking iRacing. And thanks again to the 802 Cup Series for letting me do the 802 Cup Series podcast during the season. Riptide Radio, Jeff Barefoot, thanks for having that group sponsor our races every week. And if you've never heard Carolina Shag, which is Carolina beach music, it's not just the Beach Boys, it's the Beach Boys, it's Motown, it's jazz, it's swing, it's soft rock, it's all over the road, and it's all great. My team sponsor, Joe Sixpack Racing, thank you to Dirtbag Clothing for coming on board and sponsoring our team. And we're returning the favor here because we're putting you out there on our podcast promos. 2,000 people saw your logo just this week alone for these two podcasts, as well as your logo is on the podcast promos and all our pages, as well as on our late model vehicles and BG graphics. Thank you so much, Brandon, for sponsoring the 802 Late Model Stock Series. Brandon's one of our top drivers in the Cup Series, and he's doing pretty well in the Late Model Series as well. You can catch the Sim Racing Podcast with yours truly, Greg Drace, on YouTube. We are live right now on Twitch, where we'll stay there for 2 weeks before Twitch throws us off because they don't want to charge for storage, and I don't want to pay for storage. But you can also watch the video in forever on YouTube. We'll upload it there tomorrow morning, as well as the video will be available on Anchor FM, Spotify, and the audio you can hear on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast, and just about every major podcast platform out there. Again, thanks to Mike Overstreet, American Sim Motor Racing. Their Season 7 starts on May 1st. They'll be running the Xfinity Series, so give them a shout if you want to race with them. Sounds like a pretty decent group of guys, and pretty well-run league there. So for the Sim Racing Podcast, I'm Greg Dreis. Have yourselves a good week, and we'll see you on the track.